Life is full of questions, and often the answers are difficult. Stephen Baker seeks to answer various questions about life and faith using the Bible as his only source. Join in each week as Stephen tackles the challenge of life questions. Here's Stephen.
If you're seriously considering the Bible and the truth of the Bible, you will at some stage come to this question: how then can I be saved? Now, maybe you're not there, and maybe you say, well, I don't at this stage really think I need to be saved. I don't understand even the expression, because I'm not lost, I'm not in danger, so I don't understand that biblical or Christian terminology about being saved. Well, maybe I could just go over that just for a moment or two. It is possible in life to be in danger but not to be aware of it. Sadly, many of us have at times had things wrong with us that we didn't know. And then when it came to our attention, we then went off to seek help. There are times when people have financial problems, but they're totally oblivious to the fact because of maybe their lack of organisation or chaos, or just so busy they don't even look at those things particularly carefully. And so it is possible to have a difficulty that we're not aware of, to have a danger that we're not aware of. I would suggest to you today that is the case for most people in the modern Western world. They don't realise that they actually are sinners before a holy God. They've long since been persuaded and brainwashed that God doesn't exist. It's convenient not to have God in our conscience. In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that man gives God up and he refuses to have the knowledge of God in his head. And the Bible makes that very clear. That's a very dangerous position to take. If you are that type of person and you really have no understanding, or you totally refuse to accept there is a creator, there is a God, then you will feel that you have no responsibility to any greater being, that you're a free agent, you can do as you like, you write your own morals, you live your life according to your own rules, and maybe society itself to some extent. You think there are certain things that are good and you feel that they're common to man. I wonder if you ever considered why that's the case, another issue, but that's a really important one. Why is there a moral consistency between men and women across the world and from generation to generation? I believe God has given us a God consciousness of morality and an awareness of right and of wrong. The Bible teaches that of all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we default to wrong behaviour. We naturally lie at times. We're selfish. We have to teach our society to obey rules, and that rules are good and they're preserving freedoms and they give liberty and all that type of thing. Our natural tendency is inward looking and selfish. And all the Bible does is it clarifies that and says that is because we have a fallen nature, that we're sinful. And our children never need to be taught to do anything wrong. They need to be taught to do right things and protected and preserved from the effect of wrong. If you get to that point where you realise that this is true and wonder why, then the Bible gives us the answer. The Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world. The first human being created by God was given the option of obeying God or disobeying him. It was a test. And you say, well, why did he do that? Well, there are many, many things that have been debated around that subject, but the reality is this, that God wanted man to willingly and by choice live his life. He didn't want him to be an automation. He wasn't a machine. He wasn't programmed just to do certain things. He had to have the liberty to do what is good, which means the option to do what is wrong. He wanted to have the liberty to love, which means he has to have the option to hate. And so man is built in a very complex way because God created us in his image with intelligence and desire and choice. But sadly, by one man, sin came into the world, and so the fabric of society has been saturated and contaminated by sin. And the reality is that God will judge humanity for sin, because he told the first man, if you do this, here's the consequence. We teach our children choice and consequence. And God said this, the soul that sins shall die, and that's the reality of it. But this depressing old story gets better now, because it's about the fact that God not only created us, he gave us an awareness of right and wrong, he built a conscience into our personality, he taught us the consequences of choice and wrong choice. But having done that and condemned ourselves to death and separation from God in life and eternal separation from God, which is death, the other side of physical death, God then took initiative. Well, he had planned it long before it all happened. He sent his son. And he sent his son Jesus into the world so that we might be saved. He died upon a cross and bore the judgment of God. He took the payment for our wrong. He bore reproach for us. He suffered the just for the unjust to bring us to God. And what you and I need to do is, number one, acknowledge our guilt and our sin. Number two, recognise there's only one person who ever lived who paid for our sin. Everyone else was a sinner. He was holy. And we trust him. We rest on him. We cry to him for mercy. And in grace, he does that. He forgives those who come. I trust today might be a really happy day for you, that you would come to know the forgiveness of sins.
You're listening to Life Questions by Stephen Baker, an honest attempt to answer life's toughest questions using the Bible. Located in Liverpool, England, Stephen is active in spreading the word of God through social media, blogging, radio broadcasts, and podcasts.